Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Bacon Smiles podcast. There's a little bit of a delay for those of you watching on Facebook.
Just a slight one.
But this is episode 68 of the Bacon Smiles podcast.
Wow.
I can't believe it. We've done a lot of these.
And still sounding young.
But as always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend.
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yes. Pumped up. It's been a few weeks since our last
weeks,
one.
Yeah.
But I was in Florida this past week.
I was about
week.
To say, it looks like you got some sun.
Maybe a little bit.
Just a little.
My freckles.
And you got your Irish skin on, right?
Yeah, I've got a few extra freckles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
And then I had a pretty awesome experience while I was down there going to church. And the priest and the homily and all that kind of stuff. So just kind of want to touch on that a little bit. And then you got news of the weird.
Absolutely.
And today's gospel, we're going to kind of go a little out of order because I want to do Sunday's gospel because it kind of ties into my experience with church down in Jensen Beach, Florida, which is where I was. And then, yeah, so we got Saint of the Day and then news of the weird.
Very good.
Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So, I was in Florida.
How was it?
It was great. It was awesome. It was kind of nerve-wracking because we had never flown with Zoe before. And so, we were prepped.
Yeah.
Eva was great. She got tons of stuff for the plane, new books and stuff like that to kind of, like, keep her attention.
Yeah.
And she got this, like, ball on a string, which was great because it, like, attached to her wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And then she could drop the ball, and then we could just pick it right back up.
Yeah. Doesn't roll a few aisles
yeah.
up.
No. But, yeah, so it was cool. We flew JetBlue, which has, like, TVs on the back of the
okay.
So that was distracting. We put a bunch of, like, kids programming on my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So we were ready. And she did great. So we did good. Awesome on the flight. And then when we got there, my parents have like kind of like an office den where they set up a pack and play for her to sleep in. So it's pretty much as soon as we landed, she went to sleep. And then it was awesome. My parents don't get to hang out with Zoe as much as they would like. So they like just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are friends with Eva on Facebook and even me, because she tagged me in a lot of them, that you'll see there's a ton of pictures and stuff on there just of how much fun and everything that we had. And it was just really cool because it was also our anniversary was this past Saturday. So
happy belated.
Thank you. And so it was really cool for us to be able to celebrate our wedding anniversary.
Mm.
And my parents, as part of like our combination birthday and Christmas and stuff this year, they got us a hotel room for our anniversary so the two of us could have like just a night out and away from Zoe. And my parents would have Zoe for pretty much that whole day and then overnight, which was great. You know, because kind of leading up to this past Saturday, they kind of saw how we put her to bed and everything like that and saw the routine and saw what to do and all that kind of stuff. Because it's been a little bit of time since my parents had a child, because that was
a couple of years.
It was really, really funny because my dad only had my brother and I, so he only had boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little nervous. I had to ask him, when was the last time you changed a girl's diaper?
Yeah.
And he was like, your cousin. And that was my cousin who was like 42.
Wow. So it's been a couple of years.
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was really just awesome to see my parents interact and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to kind of like be able to go out is something that we haven't really been able to do. Zoe has been such a rough sleeper for a long time, and then she's been a lot better, but we're also still like, we don't want to break the routine, and then is there something that's really worth us going out and this, you know? But it was really awesome to have my parents be able to just kind of like, oh, we'll be here. If she wakes up, we'll go get her and whatever, you know? So it was just really, really cool.
Grandparents' time.
Yeah, and they loved it. My dad was in his glories. And, of course, my mom was, too, just be able to wake up. And she's walking around. She's playing with all of their dog's toys.
Where's Buster?
She definitely missed her Bubba, who is Buster. Mm-hmm. And
is that what she calls him?
Yeah, yeah. That's she's funny. Bubba. And her
favorite... Does Buster respond to that?
Yes, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's she's so funny because she will throw a ball for him and then he'll run after it and get it, and or she'll run down the hall and then throw it because she wants him to go further.
Right.
Well, my parents' dog is blind and can't see, so she would take a ball and throw it, and he wouldn't do anything, and she'd get all upset, so she'd run down the hall and get it, and then come back, and then, like, throw it near him, and nothing would happen, because he can't see.
Right, and you can't explain that to a one-year-old.
No. She was just kept trying to, like, get him to take things and, like, putting toys in front of him. He's just, like, not playing. Not only is he blind, but he's also, like, 12. So he's just a small little schnauzer who, you know, he's the old and can't see. So she just didn't get it. She wanted to play with him the whole time.
Yeah.
But she also just really loved being outside, which down there is totally acceptable because it was like 70 or 80 the whole time we were
gorgeous.
There. Yeah. Up here, it's not that temperature.
Right.
So
it's getting there, but it's taking its time.
So when we got back up here, she's like wanting to be outside and all that stuff. But it was just awesome. So those of you who know me know that I never actually take vacations. I've been with the company that I work for a very long time. So I actually amass like 5 weeks of PTO a year. And a lot of times I end up giving it back because I don't take it, or I'm going on church retreats, mission trips, national conferences, and stuff like that for my time. So it's not an actual vacation. So this was the first real vacation I've taken in a long time, and it's our first real family vacation.
Yeah. Was it weird taking it an actual vacation?
Yeah, a little bit. It was because I like to stay busy. Yeah. I kind of like need it. Like I'm like, I need something to do. I need whatever. So I joked because I only mounted one television while I was on vacation.
Wow.
My parents needed me to move one for them.
They're like, hey, you're not doing anything right now. Let's put you to work.
So yeah, I did. I mounted a TV for my parents while I was down there. But I do like to stay busy, but it was also really awesome to see Zoe like play in the sand and all that stuff. Mm. But also, Eva had never been to Florida before.
Really?
Yeah. So she, the first day we walked, first night we were there after putting Zoe to bed, we actually went out and drove to a 24-hour like public beach.
Yeah.
And walked out onto the sand and everything, but couldn't really get the experience. She could hear the waves, and she was like, this is really awesome. And it was still pretty warm out that late at night, right by the water.
Did you guys see any lightning off in the distance?
No, because it didn't really storm. There wasn't even, like, any heat lightning that night, or I guess it rained and stuff like that. The wind got pretty strong later in the week, which caused it so we couldn't really swim. Mm. The waves were crazy, and there was, like, double red flag, which means don't swim.
Right.
And but anyway, so the next morning, so it was, like, last Tuesday morning, we went to the beach. Mm. And as we, like, come up over the dune to see the water, Eva's like, this is totally different than what I'm used to. She's only been to Rhode Island and Connecticut beaches in her whole life. So she is used to, like, brown water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she's...
Grass sticking out of the sand.
Exactly. And so she saw it and was like, I've never seen water this blue. Mm-hmm. And then you go to get in the water and it's warm.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's very sandy while you're going out.
Oh, yeah. And it's not rocky. And it's not... The sand is soft and all that stuff. So it was really It was a really cool experience for me to see her experience that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like to see that joy come over her was just such a blessing to me, where she's just like, this is awesome, you know?
This is new.
And to be able to spend so many days with my wife and daughter was just such a blessing. Like, it was just spend all day, like, as a family, and then be able to spend our nights, like, just as husband and wife. You know what? Like, just to not have that constant worry about, like, being too loud for Zoe to hear us and stuff like that. Because my parents had a really awesome lanai for us to be able to sit out, hang out, and conversate. Like, a lot of nights we're at home and we're, like, trying to be quiet, trying to, like, not wake up Zoe. And
like we're doing right now.
Yeah. Well, I also know that I'm not trying to make it seem like I'm immensely burdened by Zoe. I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression there. But I'm just saying, like, how blessed I feel to be able to have that week with my parents being there, to be able to kind of just be, like, relax and actually... Yeah. That's kind of what made it feel like a real vacation, because all day I got to spend doing cool things, children's museums, beach, all that stuff, parks, you know, playscapes with Eva and Zoe and my parents and stuff like that. But then at night, Zoe would go to bed. Eva and I would go out to dinner, go out for drinks, go out together, or we would just sit and relax together and be able to just be husband and wife and just be us together, you know, like that little extra a bit to just be able to devote back to ourselves and our relationship, because it's incredibly important as I like am kind of re-evaluating like how the week went and stuff like that. And as I was preparing for the podcast to be able to talk about the week, I thought about all this stuff, like, where were the blessings of the week and what did I get, you know, what made it feel like a vacation? What, you know, where, you know, was God and all that stuff? And it was just like, wow, just be able to reinforce our union as husband and wife and just be able to spend so much time together and not take it for granted and understand like how much I rely on Eva with when it comes to taking care of Zoe, and I hope she never feels that I take it for granted, because being with Zoe for that whole week with Eva, I also got like a better feel for what it's like day in and day out, and it is hard and it is tiring and it is chasing a little daredevil around the house. She's climbing on things, she's jumping on couches, and she'll fall and then immediately get back to trying to do the exact same thing, and it's just like, this is crazy. But it's just all this huge like blessing, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so awesome to be able to spend that time. And the other really, really cool thing that happened while we were there was Saturday was our anniversary, and then Sunday I went to church, and while during Mass they announced that there was a visiting priest, and he was from Syracuse and all this other stuff. Well, so it turns out that it's Father Peter, and he's from Syracuse, but he's also the director of faith formation for Hard as Nails Ministry, which has a youth ministry part, a pretty well-known national speaker, Justin Fatica. I think I'm pronouncing that right, but he started that mission, and it's pretty, like, intense. It's pretty in-your-face and pretty blunt, and there's a lot of people that need that, like, need to be shaken up, you know? And I was really taken aback before knowing this, that the passion that this priest was putting into to the gospel and everything like that. So what I wanted to do, just to kind of shake things up a little bit from where we were, and where we normally are, and I wanted to read the gospel and then kind of go into what the priest said after.
Sure.
Cool. All right. Let's do do that. I know normally we do kind of like a little, you know, talking segment and then go into music and then go into gospel.
Saint of the day, gospel
all that stuff. But we're going to break rhythm a little bit and kind of read the gospel and then go in. I can say hi to Mike real quick. Who's tuning in? I think, you know, live.
Karen as well.
Nice. Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hey, friends.
As I go to my readings, my digital bibble here.
Your digital bibble.
All right. So, the gospel is Luke 15, 1 through 3, and then 11 through 32.
Year C.
Year C. Okay. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off for a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. He longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but no one gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am dying from hunger. I shall give up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he gave up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him, and filled with compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and he has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry. When he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and he has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, the reason I wanted to share about this is because, so the priest who did the homily, who's the director of faith formation for Tough as Nails, or is it Hard as Nails? Tough as Nails? Hard as Nails?
I think it's Hard as Nails.
Hard as Nails, yeah. So he very passionately spoke about this gospel, and he said in his former position in priesthood, he actually taught at the seminary and taught homiletics, taught how preaching. He's like, I was a preacher teacher. And so he said, it's like, this is a very common gospel to teach about. I teach preaching about. And he said, oh, you know, what do you think it's about? And he's always asked the priest that he was teaching, what do you think it's about? Or the seminarians, but right. What do you think it's about? And so then he put it out to the parish. He was like, what do you think it's about? And someone like piped on, was like, forgiveness. He's like, yep, that's always the answer that I get. He's like, here's the thing, though. How many times in that gospel reading is that word used? Zero. He's like, it's not about forgiveness. It's not about, and it's not about reconciliation. It's not about that. It's not about looking for forgiveness. He's like, a lot of people think that the son is looking for forgiveness. He's like, that's not what this story is about at all. It's about, the father's love and how we turn away from God. And he talks about how the relevance to what was going on at that time for the younger son to go to his father and then say, I want my inheritance. The proper response culturally would have been for the father to smack the son in the face. He's like, listen, I know. He's like, now things have changed.
Right.
You know, we can't really be smacking people in the face. He's like, but back then. He's like, this would have been seen as the utmost disrespect. He essentially walked up to his father and said, I want you to die. I would like to live the rest of my life as if you were dead. It's like, whoa, all right. And so I was like, wow. And like that kind of like sunk in where it's like, wow. Like that. So for the father in this story to say, then just do it without hesitation. Just here's what would be yours if I was to die. And then for the kid to just take it, go off and squander it on a life of decadence. Yeah. And then, so we also talked about how the words, I have sinned before you and I have sinned before God, coming from Exodus, what the Pharaoh said to Moses. And how he's like, that is a very carefully calculated way to say something, because he's not saying that I am sorry for what I have done. He's like, that is the Pharaoh trying to manipulate Moses. The Pharaoh never thought that he had done anything wrong. And so Jesus, using these words in this parable, was quoting the scriptures of the time of the Old Testament. And so he was using that as a teaching moment to say, like, that this is not him saying he was sorry, but this was him trying to get his father
to sympathy.
To get sympathy, try to get his father to feel bad for him, you know, not saying like, I am humbled, you know? Yeah. And so it really struck me where I was like, wow, I never thought of it that way. Right. I definitely would have thought it was about forgiveness.
Because we hear that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
In songs and in some homilies.
Yeah, you know? No, yeah. And that's the thing is like, I think that you can get that out of this. And I think that you can get that God's love is what brings you back, but that's what he talks about. He talks about like the son was dead. Like he had been enveloped by sin. His soul was dark. It just enveloped his body. And so for him to come back, and the father's love brought him back to life. You know, and it wasn't that the son, you know, the only way he could get forgiveness was by seeking it. It was that the father's love was there. The only way for him to come back to life was through his father's love, so God's love. And at least that's what I got out of it, you know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing everything he said. It was very, very well done. And it was just really cool because then later I found out that he grew up in Vernon, Connecticut.
Small world.
This is such a cool, like, God moment when I'm sitting there and talking with him, and he's just like, oh, he's like, well, what street did you grow up on? And I'm like, well, I grew up on Wells Road. And, you know, he's just like, oh.
Does he remember that area or landmarks?
Yeah. So I was talking about, I was like, you know, where Connecticut Golf Land was. And he's like, oh, yeah, there was the hotel and stuff behind it. Yeah. He's like, there used to be this restaurant back there, like the Stakeout. You know, what's there now? I was like, nothing. They tore it down. I was like, do you remember the Acadia? Because I was like, my parents actually worked at the Acadia when they were teenagers. He goes, oh, yeah, my parents loved it there. What, you know, is that still there? I was like, well, it's weirdly an Irish pub and pizzeria.
Yeah.
Shays.
Yeah.
But just it was just like this weird, you know, just awesome thing where then he, you know, he gave me his card and he's like, you know, just reach out to us. We have all this stuff for youth ministry. He was like, you know, thanks so much for coming up. It was just really cool that you would come up and you would stop. And, you know,
I just remembered the Colony too. I was trying to remember the Colony over by like the Connecticut Golf Lane. Oh, what was that?
Oh,
the Colony.
Exactly. And so it was just like, it's just such a cool, you know, moment. And the other priest that was there was the pastor of that parish, because the priest that was preaching was there to do like a retreat week for the parishioners. They had brought him down to do a retreat week for Lent, and he was speaking every night this week at the parish. And the pastor, I was wearing my church shirt.
Yeah.
The one that has the tie on it. And so I was talking with him, and he's from New Haven, Connecticut. He grew up in, like, you know, Fairfield County. And so I'm talking with him, and then he looks at my shirt, and he goes, that's an awesome shirt. And then he sees that it says, this is my church shirt. And he literally laughed out loud.
Yeah.
He was a... thicker fella like myself. And he just puts his hands on his belly and is like, ho, 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 ho.
That's
just laughed. He's like, this is my church shirt.
Yeah.
So it was just such a cool, just a cool mass experience. And I was like really pumped up about it. Yeah. And it's really cool to see, you know, a priest with like that passion and that fire during Mass, and then afterwards, and talking about you know, the readings and stuff like that. And it's just like, I'm getting pumped up by it. And it was just an awesome like Mass experience, and all around that gospel and the and just, you know, the way that he talked about that reading in the way that we need to go through life with more, you know, humility and looking out and looking for the good and staying away from the bad, and just to be respectful and humble and faithful and have God's grace and, and just all those things, and just... you know, that fire.
Right. And it was funny because right before with the podcast, you were telling me that story about the breakdown of the gospel. And even when I was hearing it, I was like, that's interesting. I haven't seen it from that perspective. But then once we read it through again, you can definitely tell that it was slightly more calculated.
The
way that the son was thinking about it and going,
I will go there.
I will go and say it.
And say this. And not even just be like, it doesn't, Jesus is very careful in his words. And then Luke is very careful in, the way that he wrote Jesus's words. I, you know, I think in from what I heard on Sunday was, you know, it's all very crafted and it's a parable, and Jesus used parables for people to understand him. And so when you look at it and you're saying, well, how does Jesus want to be understood on this? And then you look and it's like, okay, well, this son isn't saying, I will go and show my father this. I will go and show my father what I have become, or anything. It's just like, I will go to my father and I will say this.
Right.
You know?
Because then I know I'll have my food.
Yeah, exactly. And it was all about that. I know that I will get fed. Mm-hmm. Like, I will get food, and I will be brought back in. And because it was kind of like, he also said, like, well, he was probably looking to go back to his father and try to work off his debt, then get back into his inheritance, and then go back out and leave. But he's like, they don't talk about that. And, it, you know, you would look at, like, the... It would almost be like a business engagement if you tried to, you know, patch it back together today, with the son just trying to get back in his dad's good graces so that he could repay his debt and then go forward. Mm. You know, he talked about that for a little bit, but just kind of like that really, you know, cool putting perspective in and then kind of weaving in what it would be like today.
Yeah.
And then just like I said, just to speak with passion and knowledge and stuff like that and make it culturally relevant to then, but then also bring it to like what that would be like now. And it was just a really, really well done homily where it was just like, yeah, I get it, you know. But anyway, it pumped me up that whole time. You can still hear it today.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, but you got music.
Music. So a couple good albums coming out this year, at least that I know of. Danny Gokey is coming out with a new album on April 12th called Haven't Seen It Yet, and they're playing his new song a lot on the radio. If you like Hillsong United, they have another album coming out April 26th. It is called People. And then just taking a look at this Friday, tomorrow, April 5th, if you're into Christian hip-hop, Social Club Misfits is coming out with an EP called Mood.
Nice.
Yeah, so... couple different flavors there. Pop,
yeah,
no, worship, hip-hop.
Yeah, you know, that's, I just love how many different genres.
Yeah.
And that was the other cool thing is down in Florida, there was like three different Christian radio stations.
Really?
Yeah.
I noticed how diverse it was down there when I went to the conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Tampa. Where was it? Tampa. Mm-hmm. And just sitting in the church and just feeling... how cool it was.
Yeah.
And the diversity and just how happy people were and the the age range and everything is very neat.
Yeah.
Neat experience.
Yeah. And when I went to a couple stores and I was wearing my blessed hat or my pray hat or my church shirt and people were like, I like your hat. Oh, what church do you go to? Mm-hmm. Or stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh, well, I go to a Catholic church. I'm actually from Connecticut. I normally go to a church in Bloomfield, but I'll be going to a church down here.
Yeah.
You know, just conversating about church in public and people feeling comfortable coming up to you and talking to you about that. Like, I'm like, this is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I like this.
Well, it's funny because I was talking with our friend Vicky about that. And I was saying, because she was saying the church here is so young and so dynamic. And I said, have you figured out, you know, what's different that's bringing the youth in at the church in Florida? And she said, I think it's just a different pace. You know, when you're up in Connecticut near New York and Boston and all these busy cities, we just move so fast. Whereas when you're down in Florida, it's more relaxed, it's a slower pace, and people have time to pray.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. And I'll also add that I also think that it's a priority thing. I think that people make time and make it important. And it's not just a thing to check off the list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like a larger group of people in the South prioritize church over a lot of other things. And you also find that with the higher stress areas that we're in and the stress of going to college and the stress for extracurriculars and the stress for all that other stuff, that church and making time for that seems to get pushed a little more to the side, I think. And that's just like a, you know, kind of an educated guess of what I would think it is, because it's just like you see more... you know, just people, like I said, willing to talk to you about church.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I think that's right, too, though. Different pace. Like, just a willingness to make time, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas up here, it's just like the stress of having to fill every minute of every day and run here and run there and run here and run there. Yeah. And it's like people are like, oh, it's Sunday mornings. I just want to sleep a little
bit. Just want to get a little rest, watch a game.
And I get that, yeah. You know. But, yeah, I think that it's the making the time. And even now, I do love the fact that you can normally find a mass that you can make time for, you know. St. Teresa of Calcutta has the 5 o'clock. Yeah. Well, they have a 4 and 5 on Saturday and then a 5 o'clock on Sunday, youth mass. So, yeah. You know, that's kind of nice to be able to have those different times. But anyway, our saint of the day, got to pull it back. So, Saint Isidore of Seville, one of the few saints who was a bishop who succeeded his own brother to be bishop. So the previous bishop of Seville was his older brother of the Diocese of Seville. Like, I don't even know if it was like technically a diocese, but he was the bishop of Seville. And his brother was the bishop before. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Like,
it's a family affair.
Continuing in the family, yeah.
But also, think about this. Think about how it would be today if there were two priests in one family.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would blow people's minds. But to have two bishops.
So would you call them, would they call each other father or bishop? Or would they call them brothers?
Yeah, I don't know. Do they just go first name?
I don't know.
Good morning, Bishop. Good morning, Bishop.
It's like doctors where they'll just go, doctor, Bishop, Bishop, father.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
This conversation just got weird.
But, there was, during his life, there was a lot of conflict in Spain and growth in the church as well. But I thought that was a really cool fun fact about him. But the other thing that is pretty amazing about him is he dedicated more and more of his life to charity as he got older. And in the last like 6 months of his life, so many poor people were like living and staying at his residence that they couldn't fit anymore.
Wow.
Like, so when I saw that, I was like, man, this guy just like a holy man until the end.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just something I thought was really cool. Do you know that he dedicated his life to the church? His brother also dedicated his life to the church. And then to find out that later in life, he just even saw more of a need to be charitable later in life. And that even like until death, he was like taking people in to his residence. And so, yeah, that's just a really cool. So Saint Isidore of Seville.
Cool.
Saint of the day.
Pretty all good. Right.
What you got?
So you ever feel like, I know you were saying that you rarely take vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can relate to this. Maybe our friends on Facebook Live can relate to this, but you ever feel like, man, if I just stayed in bed for a day and caught up on my sleep, I'd be good.
I don't know that I could.
Yeah.
Anytime I sleep for more than like 5-6 hours, I actually feel more tired than when I went to bed.
Okay.
But there's like some kind of sweet spot in the middle that I need to find again because, I need to catch you up sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe you wouldn't be able to take part in this study, but maybe our friends on Facebook Live or listening to this podcast could, because NASA is offering $19,000 to participants in a study that are willing to stay in bed for 2 months. 60 days to be exact.
Isn't that unhealthy?
I don't know. It's not going to be like an actual traditional bed. They're doing it as a test to see how the body reacts to anti-gravity.
To just
so they have
down.
Like an anti-gravity bed in Germany. So you'd have to go to Germany. That's the catch. But by lying in this bed, you'd help participate in their study, and you'd earn $19,000 by doing that.
I mean, $19,000 is a lot of money.
$19,000, and you get to travel to Germany.
And you don't have to do anything.
Right. You just lie there.
I don't know that I'd be able to. My personality is I would go crazy like one day in.
Yeah. When I had my wisdom teeth pulled and I laid on a couch listening to music and watching TV, within like an hour, I was almost jumping out of my skin.
When I had surgery on my shoulder, the end of my senior year in high school, I had to like sleep in a recliner for 6 months, and like I couldn't really do a whole lot for like more than a month after that. I was going crazy. Yeah. I definitely pushed the limits on how much they wanted me to do or not do and stuff like that during that time. But I'm not even sure I could go 2 days.
Yeah.
Just literally
it gets
not
old very fast.
Just not leaving a bed. So I would imagine they would allow you to watch TV. How much TV could you watch, though?
I don't know, because I don't know if... I mean, I'm sure they have TVs in space, but it's not traditional, you know, watching Tonight Show or something.
I mean, it
like
might
that.
Be.
Comedy Central.
The way satellites work.
Want to catch up on the baseball games.
That's the other thing. How do they get internet and stuff up there? Like, how long does it take for that to get to there?
It's probably got a slight delay.
Yeah. But you see them Skyping all the time on shows. And I wouldn't say all the time, but like you see them Skyping and stuff like that. So, I mean, they got to be able to do something.
Yeah.
So for 2 months, though, I just couldn't do it. Could you do it?
I don't think I could. Like I said, when I had the wisdom teeth pulled, I was going nuts.
Yeah. So for those of you listening on the podcast, you can
it
know
got loud.
That music means it's time to wrap it up. But those of you on Facebook or whatever, answer that question. Do you think you could lay in bed for 2 months? Because I don't think I could. Yeah. But that's all we got for today. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Thanks for listening.
Keep smiling.
Keep smiling, and God bless.